Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Here's the headline, Brandon. The school that couldn't quit COVID. School in upstate New York imposed some of the most extreme measures during the pandemic, including silent lunches and outdoor masking. The rules are still in effect. This comes from one of your favorite news sites, The Free Press, and author David Schwieg.
I think it's Zweig.
Schwieg.
Yeah, I think he's very middle of the road, maybe center right. I think the Free Press tends to be try to be as down the middle as they possibly can. I really like this article and this piece. I think he was kind of spot on it. He was kind of pointing out the absurdity of a lot of things. I would give him a dead center on the MAGA woke meter, personally.
Ooh, yeah. Dead center.
And I've
wow,
looked at his other writing. It's all pretty fair.
My praise. Here it is, a little snippet. As of today, children are at the EAC MSI, a small Montessori school in Ithaca, New York, are still required to mask indoors and outdoors. They are still prohibited from speaking during lunch. Second graders who began school there as kindergartners in fall of 2020 have never experienced a normal school day of their lives. Just a little bit more. This is the story of why EAC MCI is among the last schools in America to still enforce draconian measures. It's also the story of how, when faced with a crisis, many public health authorities, along with regular people and bureaucrats following the authorities' lead, believe that the more extreme the response to the virus, the more wise and virtuous the policy. Rationale behind the approach was understandable during weeks of the pandemic, but even as evidence quickly accrued that children were at little risk of severe outcomes, the teachers were not at great risk other than from other professionals, and that these in-school interventions would lead to many secondary harms, from delayed language acquisition to damaged socialization. A culture of fear ruled. I do need to confess before we get into this that I'm doing this with an M95 mask on, Brandon.
You are, yes. For those that are not watching the video, you are definitely, you've got a gas mask on, actually. You've done some heavy work to get your audio to come out, right? I mean, obviously, this article is, he's chosen the absurd, right? This Elizabeth Ann Clooney well, Montessori School of Ithaca.
I don't think it's the absurd.
No, it's not. But I'm saying the model, the choice he chose to, I think most people would be like, what? You're doing what 2 years after the, I mean, even the CDC would say this is ridiculous.
Well, but as you say that, I went to the movies 2 weeks ago. There was a gaggle of people in this movie theater. A dude walked in with a mask on, an M95, by the way, then took it off and watched the movie.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, and because I think there's a couple of things we should talk about in here. Number one is, let's talk about sort of, we've talked about ad nauseum, ad infinitum about COVID and the response to COVID. And I've heard both sides. I have friends that are like, we should have never masked. Our children are going to be robots because of it. And other people is like, we should be in hermetically sealed suits right now because you can get COVID. And the numbers. Yes, dude, there are still people that feel very strongly.
I know there are still, but those people are irrational.
Of course, on both sides. On both sides.
No, I will say I've kind of softened on that. We maybe went a little too crazy.
Of course, but I'm saying in the very beginning when we didn't know what was going on, people were reacting from a political standpoint, not necessarily because they're, what are they, epidemiologists, they understood it, but I think fairly early on, we kind of knew that, hey, this is a little bit overkill. It was an abundance of caution, but it really did affect kids, and that needs to be deconstructed. It's important looking back, hindsight being 2020, that we look at this and we say, all right, what did we do well? And what didn't we do well? Because this isn't the last pandemic the country's ever going to face. We need to understand what was going on instead of just like, the sky is falling. We went full Henny Penny on this whole operation. So I guess the thing that I would say about this, first off, let's take the school. Let's talk about the school. So this was written by a guy, interviewed a lot of parents who were obviously parents for the most part that were kind of bitter about the policy. They'd left the school, but they talked about the fact that even here in 2023, now the CDC basically removed most masking last summer. So we're almost a year after the CDC has said you don't need to mask anymore. And they're still doing this. They're doing silent lunch, right? It's because they eat and they don't want any of their germs to go out. And the school defends it by saying, well, you know, we haven't had any COVID, blah, blah, blah. And like the author of the article is like, you have no data to prove that. You don't know if your COVID rates are not the same as the greater population. This is about control. Now, having worked in independent schools, especially super woke independent schools, they are no different than the ultra right wing Looney Tunes schools, because they're basically fascist. This is fascist. This is saying, now you would say, well, you could pull your kid out of there, but every parent knows that's not an easy thing to pull your kid out of a school. You chose a school for a reason. Your kids are there. They have their friends there. So to pull them out, which is what, there's no way. Would you send your kids to the school now?
No, of course not. But my point is, they have friends at the school. They don't have friends. They can't talk to their friends.
Well, they do. That's ridiculous. They do. But it is the bottom line is there was a little bit of pieces in here. You talked about the guy coming in the movie theater. He referenced a field trip where they went to New York where they didn't have to wear masks. But as soon as they came back to Ithaca, they had to wear it. So they went into Manhattan. They didn't have to wear masks because it would be ridiculous.
Makes sense.
Dude, man, if you're going to catch a pandemic, it's going to be in Manhattan. There are millions of people packed together. But it makes none sense, absolutely, because the problem is you've got, I'm sure these administrators sit around and tell each other, yeah, well, if we save one child, we've done the right thing. I'm like, yes, but how many people are hurt because of this stupid policy?
I really don't have a problem with the school doing this. I have a problem with the parent leaving their child in this. And you could say it's crazy to pull your friends there.
No, I didn't say it's crazy. I said it's hard. I don't think it's crazy. I would absolutely pull my kid out of the school. There's no way.
We didn't send
Maple to camps last summer because they were still masking. I was like, my kid's not going to run around. Now, there are certain times, like if you're in an enclosed space, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give it to you. But the outdoor, I still saw people walking down the street alone wearing masks. I'm like,
bro,
don't you read any of the literature?
Driving in cars alone.
Take that second part. I'm sure books will be written about this. I think there's a mental health piece to this. I think some people just feel better and safer. It's like it's a placebo. It's no different than a little kid carrying their blanket around. It's a security blanket.
It's their excuse to continue and fester their anxiety.
Absolutely.
Like this pandemic gave them the reason, and now they get to have an excuse.
And I know people that have gone off the deep end because of this pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
The anxiety to the point where they had to be medicated. It fed into a horrible narrative for a lot of people.
Totally.
And so my point to this is, we could sit there and look at this whack job school, and you're like, oh, I think of school is probably...
Or whack job people.
Or the whack job people that are following it, and we could say, oh, you guys are... But what we should be doing, in my opinion, is we should be taking a broader look at this and saying, what was good and what was bad, and what did we learn, what we did... One of the things we fail at in this country, it seems to be more often than not, it's not reviewing what's already happened.
Totally.
Taking a look at things in any process, right? We just keep repeating it, thinking it's going to be different. It's not. So when are we going to just stop and say, okay, well, maybe having kids out of... I mean, I know people that are still mad here in Asheville because Asheville city schools were virtual forever. Like, we pulled Maple out and put her in a private school because they were masked, but they were in school. The Asheville city schools were having kindergartners on virtual learning, which is the stupidest thing in the world. Dude, a kindergartner in virtual learning. Now, I get it. If it is an absolute necessity, it's a plague and they're going to die if they go in. But we knew relatively early on there was no. Mabel was in school all year long in a class of 20 kids, not one single COVID case. Now, I'm not saying that was whatever, but bottom line is, and very, very, very few kids died from COVID.
Okay, I get that we got it wrong. Mostly in the pandemic.
Right.
It's about today.
Right.
And it's about some I hate to use the word crazy because there are some very logical people that I actually know that are very well educated that will walk into church with a mask on and I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, I have a friend who's very smart, who's not crazy, who says, I'll never travel on an airplane without a mask again. And I'm like, the safest place to be in a public setting is on an airplane because they filter that air so much.
So then how do you rationalize this intelligent friend of yours and their nuttiness?
I don't rationalize. Look, if you choose to wear a mask, that's your choice. I'm like, whatever, dude. I think it's silly. I think you're ridiculous. I would say that you're ridiculous. But if you choose to do it, there's nothing I can do to dissuade you from doing something that's just silly. That said, there is a greater holistic policy at work here. What are we going to force the general population to do that's not good for the general? What are we doing right now? Right now. Or what are we forcing the population to do that's not healthy for the population? I think that there are things...
In regards to the pandemic?
No, in regards to anything. In public safety, we do things all the time where we go out of our way to, like, for instance, here's an example. Raised this in an independent school about having a nuts at a school. People lose their minds.
Oh my gosh.
Lose their minds around nuts at a school. I'm like, hey man.
Totally.
If my kid was totally allergic to nuts, I mean, but there are better ways to do it. There are nut-free tables. They're teaching kids about it. Hey, look, we cannot bubble wrap the world. There are going to be some people that are going to be affected by this, but not everyone. And we can't change everything for one person.
I agree with that. But that's why this Montessori school should exist. There should be a place where if people want to bubble wrap and not have COVID at all extreme cost, they should be allowed to go.
Absolutely.
But if you're a parent that's angry about it, you're the one that's on the wrong here.
Yeah, well, but again, I mean, maybe there are extenuating circumstances of why people are sent their kids to the school. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to judge those parents that are at that school.
My question that I want to get to, is there anything that you do in your daily life now that you go like, oh, I can't do that because of COVID?
Nothing.
Do you ever
Nothing.
Think? Yeah,
no, I don't think about it at all anymore.
In
fact, when I
it.
See people doing that, I'm kind of like, oh, all right. In fact, I feel like I learned from it. I learned about like, okay, you got to wash your hands. You got to be careful about certain things. If and because it's not just COVID. I mean, I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to catch a cold. There are things that I want to avoid if I possibly can. But I do think this. I really fundamentally think this. I choose my quality of life, daily quality of life, over hermetically sealing my life away from the world. That's what I choose. And there's a risk. Every time I get in my car, there is a risk that some drunk driver is going to broadside me and kill me. Does that mean I don't leave my house? And by the way, there are people that don't leave their houses because of their fear of the world.
I'm going to go one step further
Ooh.
Than you. I know alcohol is not good for me.
Right.
It's proven.
Right. Too
but
much alcohol.
I don't want... But even moderately alcohol...
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll die at 75 rather than 80 because I want to drink
right.
booze.
Exactly.
I'm just not
completely
live my life
yeah,
that.
I completely agree. I think that you have to be healthy. Moderation is a good thing in everything. So if you say to yourself, I look at people and they're like, you know, it's all about choices. You know, I've talked about this. It's been well documented on the Smarticle podcast that I've been on this weight loss journey. And I look at things and I say, you know, everything we do is sort of is it going to be better for us or worse for us? Am I going to enjoy it more or less? So I have to make a daily choice, almost minute to minute. I'm like, do I want to eat that thing? Is it giving me enough intrinsic joy that I want to eat something which I know ultimately might lead me to a place where I'm less joyful? I eat, I gain weight or do whatever. And so it helps me to frame my thinking around that. And there are sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat that carrot cake today because I've been really good and I've worked out and I've been honest with it. And so I'm going to allow myself. And every dietitian I've talked to and every doctor says the same thing. You've got to allow yourself to do some of that stuff. Otherwise, your quality of life suffers and you're actually worse off. So that's my rule of thumb personally. Like, would I go to a rave party where everybody's sick to get sick? Probably not. But I probably wouldn't stop going to the grocery store because there was rumors of the flu about. You know, that's what I would say to that.
Yeah, it's a balance of life thing. I probably like food way more than you. I love eating bad stuff, really. But I got to be honest.
I do too, by the way.
But I know me more than you. And by the way, so Monday through Friday, I eat two meals a day. One of those is a salad and the other is oatmeal.
Right.
So then on the weekend when I'm eating a big ass chili dog, I realize that I freaking had a little bit of balance to my life.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. That's exactly my point. I mean, you could do it in the daily or you could do it, you know, the cheat day, however way you want to put it. It's all about moderation in life per se. We're not here to talk about how I get what your point is.
Okay. My point is just that like when you see somebody wearing a mask at church or at the movie, I'm like, man, I hope you have a friend that could talk you off the ledge a little bit and be like, what are you doing, bud? Have a little bit of...
I think that some of those people are beyond the friend talking to them. I think that there's some of this is just around mental health stuff. But Larry, once again, I'd like to thank you for teaching me about mental health issues and once again, about how to handle COVID and the pandemic.